is America Weekend. I'm Mike Bennett. Actor Adam Kaufman is one of the stars of State of Affairs on NBC. We'll chat with him in just a moment. But first, men could be more fertile and healthier without underwear. You heard me right. A survey has found that where a man lives can determine which underwear they prefer, and experts now believe that it can affect their health. From allergies to fertility and pain, here's why men's choice of underwear may deserve more careful consideration. Why silk may not be so hot. Men can help prevent the skin condition of jock itch by wearing underpants made of absorbent material such as cotton, which will soak up sweat and wick it away from the skin. Less absorbent material such as silk, nylon, and lycra can make the problem worse. Snug pants may stop aches. Men can experience passing aches and pains, although it's not known exactly why it happens. Wearing tighter underwear reduces movement and makes it less painful. Allergic to your undies? Men who suffer from allergies such as eczema often develop a contact rash if their underpants have elastic in the waistband. The color of your underwear could cause problems too, because a compound used in cheap black dye can cause a contact allergy. The best pants to conceive in? Well, men with fertility issues should consider wearing loose-fitting underwear. Studies found that men who wear tight-fitting pants have fewer sperm compared to those who wear boxers. You really must change pants daily. Wearing the same pants or underwear for days at a time raises the risk of fungal infections. And there are also benefits of going commando. Some experts believe that men would be best off wearing no underwear because it would reduce sweating, reduce chances of skin infections, and improve fertility. Of course, for somebody like Miley Cyrus, she doesn't worry about any clothes. She put out a new Polaroid of herself nude for V Magazine. In one of the photos, Miley is totally nude with only soap bubbles covering her private parts. Actor Adam Kaufman is now part of the ensemble cast of the NBC CIA drama State of Affairs.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Really good.
Where are you, in Los Angeles?
I am in Los Angeles, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure that's
cool,
what you...
sunny Los...
Well, yeah, it's got to be better than New York. We got about 2 inches of snow this morning.
Ah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. We've been having like, it's been like 70 here.
That's what they're telling me. It breaks my heart. Anyway.
Yeah, no complaints. I know my parents are out in Connecticut and all my friends are in New York, so...
Oh, is that right?
I'm hearing all about... Yeah. Well, I grew up in Connecticut, so...
Oh, whereabouts?
I know what it's like. New Canaan, Connecticut.
Oh, okay, great. All right, so you're a Northeast kind of guy.
I am.
We're talking with Adam Kaufman, who plays Lucas Newsom on State of Affairs, a great new NBC show, which has certainly caught my attention. Hopefully it'll catch a lot of people's attention. Adam, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Are you enjoying this run on State of Affairs?
Oh, yeah. No, it's been fantastic. Honestly, it's been one of the best experiences of my career, and, clearly the material and all of that is top-notch, but so are the people. And one of my favorite group of, writers, directors, and clearly the actors. They've all sort of become family to me.
Well, of course, we know you from the miniseries Taken and Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Dawson's Creek, but this is a kind of a different role for you, right?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever played anybody who works in government before. Yeah. And certainly Lucas is, he's definitely a very mysterious character, I'd say. Outside of the Nick Barra character, he's probably the one person you're going, I don't get the angle. Where is he coming from?
Well, yeah, you came into this.
That's always interesting.
Well, you came into the CIA analyst unit with an established group, and you came in with the new CIA director, and you always seem to know more than what you're letting on. That's my take on it.
Yeah, that was the take that the writers had on it. I mean, essentially, when we had the pilot episode, I was the acting director's briefer. So when that director was replaced, the rest of the briefing team didn't understand why I had shown up for work.
Right, I remember that. Yeah,
when you're briefing for someone, it could be any of the characters. If that person they dies or quits or gets fired, replaced, whatever it is, the briefer is gone with them, and you're just sort of put right back into population within the CIA, back to whatever, area you came from. And so they were all expecting me to be gone and somebody new to be coming in, and I walked. then you find out that I knew all along who was going to be appointed the director of the CIA to replace the acting director, and that I had just sort of been settled in there ahead of time so that there would be a smoother transition. But of course, you know, it's TV and you got to keep it interesting, so none of the other characters are going to believe that story I'm feeding them. So, you know, there is definitely that mysterious storyline of where my loyalties lie, and that is all intentionally laid in there by the writers and done very, very well, I think.
Yeah, and of course, your character needs to be accepted by the rest of the analysis unit, and they're kind of wary of you because of the way you started out with them.
Secrets and lies, man. Secrets and lies. That's what it's all about. You know, yeah, of course. They definitely are wary of me because they just don't buy my story. And I think for sure you definitely see a lot of, as I'm sort of integrated into the team, a lot of the characters on the team start to accept me, but there's always that sort of doubt on the part of Katie Heigl's character as to, you know, why am I really there? And that always plays throughout the entire season.
And of course, she's now out and about, you know, combating terrorism and the like, and you have settled into sort of a friendly relationship with another member of the team.
I definitely have. Yeah, there's the inner office, I don't know if you call it romance, but there's a little something going on there, which is now creating a good deal of friction because there is another male colleague who was trying to move in before I did.
Didn't anybody ever tell you these office romances don't work out so well sometimes?
They never work out, but they work so well on television.
Of course.
People love it.
The two rival males going for the beautiful young female. What is it like working with your co-star, Sheila?
Oh, Sheila Van, she's phenomenal. She's uber talented and just so sweet and really, really smart. And just, she's really game for anything, too. She's just such a talented young woman and just a joy to work with. And like I said, about everybody, about the entire cast, we all just get along so well that going to work, I mean, it's no lie. I've worked on jobs before where you just dread going there, but this has been a true pleasure. And also because, you know, we have amazing chemistry as a cast, and it just doesn't always happen, but we're also given so much freedom to improvise. And, you know, Sheila is certainly at the top of the list with people who are open and exceptionally talented at doing improv, because not everybody loves to go off script. A lot of people like to just stick to the dialogue, but she's just really talented, and so is everybody in the cast.
So that's interesting. You can actually do some ad-libbing in the scenes, and they'll allow it, huh?
Oh, yeah. Well, it all started with Joe Carnahan, and on the pilot, he was real big on improvising. You know, if for no other reason other than to just get that natural vibe of a bunch of people just talking. Because, you know, there's times, especially in the first couple of takes, every once in a while, where it can just sound like you're spouting out information. You don't want it to come off that way. If it feels that way to a director watching it, he or she knows that the audience is just going to sort of fall asleep and it's just going to be nothing information. So, but I do remember we were doing a scene, all of us, and Joe had three cameras going. This is on the pilot. And he's telling me to just improvise. Like, everybody should be improvising for the first couple of, like, first minute of the take. 1 minute doesn't sound very long, but I certainly don't have a Rolodex of CIA jargon in my head
right.
to just improvise. So I'm on my phone, like on Wikipedia, trying to get information for something that would be relevant to the scene. And I actually found like something great. And I learned a really valuable lesson, which was don't blow that during the rehearsal. Because when I went up to a couple of the other actors and started, you know, feeling really great and hot, and I've got this amazing improv thing I'm going to do, and Joe's dying laughing. He's like, that's phenomenal. And then we go to actually shoot and do the take, and I walk up, and the other actors have stolen the first half of what I had come up with. So don't blow it on rehearsals. Use it when the cameras are rolling. They are very open to us improvising.
And we had Joe Carnahan, the executive producer and writer-director, but also on the show a couple of weeks ago, giving us the lowdown on State of Affairs. I guess the only question remaining is, will this find a big enough audience to remain on NBC? We hope it does.
God, you know, I hope it does. I do know that, like, we do have pretty phenomenally high DVR numbers, and I believe we were, like, number one on demand or something like that for episode 6. I believe Homeland was number 2. So, you know, it's a day and age where I feel like, you know, more every year we get less and less people watching things live. You know, you DVR something, or you watch it on demand, or you get it on Netflix or Hulu or whatever it is. So who knows? We'll see what happens. You know, for now, we all just are, you know, trying to put out the best product we can and have a good time while we're doing it. I think that's happening.
Oh, it's a great show. State of Affairs. I'm going to watch it 5 times this week to make up for the clowns that aren't watching.
Watch it live, people.
Absolutely. Adam Kaufman, thank you for a couple of minutes. I hope the character of Lucas Newsom continues on and on with State of Affairs on NBC. Great show. Good talking to you, and all the best.
Thank you. You too. Great talking to you.
With Adam Kaufman of State of Affairs on NBC, I'm Mike Bennett, and you're listening to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Have you heard? Proactive Plus is faster and better than ever. Stay tuned for a 1,000,000 bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal, and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Don't miss this limited-time offer. Give us a call at 800-568-5857, because we're going to let 1,000,000 people try Proactive Plus risk-free and get 2 free gifts and also receive free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. So call Proactive Plus now, and you'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial of Proactive Plus, 2 free extras, and free shipping. Call 800-568-5857. This is our exclusive radio offer, never on TV. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactive Plus with free shipping. That's right, free shipping. Don't wait. Call 800-568-5857. That's 800-568-5857.